Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
I just got the recording device to start recording.
Oh, good.
It was flashing red, and I thought that meant I am recording. But the numbers never changed. And so then I just experimentally pushed it, and then it started recording. So.
Should we start over?
So
I remember everything I've said.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware, you've been keeping up with the news. Rick Emerson is on vacation, and it has been historically accurate that whenever Rick Emerson goes on vacation, death follows in his wake.
Oh.
As soon as he leaves, celebrities just start. So we've had the Rick Emerson death march for the last hour or so. Science. Like, it started with Andy Rooney, and it continues. I mean, it's like death, death, death all week.
Yeah.
The KUFO building got torn down. That happened because he was uptown.
Yeah.
Well, and also, apparently, the black rhino is now extinct.
Aww.
Thanks to Rick Emerson going on vacation.
Damn you, Rick.
Lax anti-poaching efforts are to blame, and Rick Emerson, for the loss of the last wild specimens of western black rhino, leading the rhinoceros subspecies to be declared officially extinct this week. Researchers estimate that about 10 of the long-legged West African variety of black rhino survived in Cameroon until 2000. Prized by poachers for their horns, which are used as trophies and in traditional medicine, the western black rhino now exists only in zoos.
Aww.
So they're not actually extinct. Doesn't extinct mean there's none?
Technically, yeah.
Hmm.
But still, there probably aren't very many in zoos.
No.
A dozen, maybe, or something.
About 100,000 eastern black rhinos roamed the continent at the beginning of the 20th century before their numbers plummeted to just 1,500 in the 1960s.
Wow.
Today, about 4,500 of those exist thanks to intensive breeding and conservation efforts. But according to Robert Zing, curator at the Zurich Zoo, poachers have killed more than 350 animals in South Africa alone this year.
That's a shame.
So, yes, it is very sad. The IUCN released an updated red list last week, covering the 62,000 species that are considered endangered or extinct. Those found to be critically endangered include the San Jose brush rabbit and the red-crested tree rat, which was recently rediscovered after disappearing from sight for more than a century.
Wow. Well, maybe there's still more black rhinos somewhere.
Maybe they could be hiding somewhere.
If they're smart, they are.
Also, the critically endangered Tarzan chameleon, or chameleon, depending on how you pronounce it, could get a boost
if you pronounce it correctly or not.
If its habitat on the island of Madagascar is proclaimed a protected area, it could come back. So there's good news.
Here's hope.
Fingers crossed for the chameleon.
I mourn the loss of the black rhino.
Yeah, I blame Rick Emerson. Male nursery web spiders sometimes pay for mating using worthless gifts, with a new study finding that the gals are not impressed with the paltry offerings. These gifts serve as decoys. Worthless bits of flower, cotton, or ant husks wrapped in silk serve to distract the female while the males have their way.
Wow.
Another trick they use is if they're not satiated, males will play dead until the female thinks she's gotten away, then he'll wake up and pounce on her for another go.
That's unsettling. All of that is unsettling.
Yes. Maria Jose Albo, a researcher at Aarhus University in Denmark, who also is at the Instituto de Investigaciones Biológicas Clemente Estable in Uruguay,
sure,
said the nuptial gift, an insect prey wrapped in silk, is a very important trait for mating success. Males with gifts increase the chances to be accepted by females and also prolong copulation duration. Males without gifts are normally rejected or obtain short copulations.
Don't I know it.
Albo and his colleagues are still perplexed as to how gifts benefit the mother spider or her children. The nursery web spider, Pisaura mirabilis, I hate science, is a common European spider species and typically lives in a grass meadow. During their second year, male spiders search and compete for mates and present them with a nuptial gift. During the mating, the female eats the gift and the male inserts special organs called pedipalp, which transfers the sperm. The longer they insert the pedipalp, the more sperm they transfer. In the wild, the spiders mate multiple times, but in the lab, they were only allowed to mate once.
Aw.
Yeah, I know. Poor spiders. Come on.
And then does the girl eat the boy? Is that one of the
I don't think
that...
so, no.
No?
No. The spiders, anyway, the researchers collected wild spiders and studied four conditions. Spiders without gifts, those with worthless gifts, those with gifts of tasty dead flies, and those with gifts of protein-enriched flies. The virgin male spiders were given the gift to wrap up for their potential mate once they started the courtship ritual and when they're presented with a virgin female.
What about the gift of love?
I don't know if the spiders really...
Male suitors should show up with the gift of love, offering his love and his devotion, his affection for the rest of his life.
No, female spiders, they only want gifts. They disengaged from mating quicker with the males who gave them worthless gifts. Mm-hmm. And once they figured out they'd been duped, they just moved on and looked for someone else.
Mm.
So that's the thing, boys. Just remember that. Give good gifts. Don't give crappy gifts, because she'll figure it out really quickly, and then she'll go find some other spider and maybe eat your head.
She'll go find some other spider on some spider website.
I love you. You're funny. A mutant gene making carriers 250% more likely to develop deadly skin cancer is more common in people with more moles and darker eyes. Researchers at the Queensland Institute of Medical Research were part of an international team that found a variant in the MITF gene responsible for regulating pigmentation and melanoma development.
So if you have a lot of moles, you're more likely to have skin cancer?
Apparently so, yes. Dr. Stuart McGregor said the mutation, this guy said that DNA samples used in the study were collected from 7,900 people living in Australia and the UK. They found that people possessing this particular genetic variant, where they have more moles and darker eyes, do have a 250% increased risk of developing melanoma.
Hmm.
The short-term goal is to improve screening, they said, which will reduce cancer mortality in terms of diagnosing people earlier. In the medium to long term, this gene finding is telling us about the biology of melanoma, and in conjunction with other work, this sort of work will help us to develop better pharmaceuticals and drugs.
It also means we need to weed out these mole people among us.
Yeah.
That are covered in moles. We need to genetically get rid of them.
Patrick's father is one of those moley guys.
Oh, yeah?
He has moles all around. And now I see Patrick, as he gets older, he's starting to get moles.
Yeah, the moles start to emerge. Next comes the skin cancer.
He's eating my cookie.
He's eating a cookie.
No. Okay, thank you.
There's one over here, too.
Yeah, that one was for you.
Well, I have cookies that I bought from Subway.
Oh, okay. Well, then that cookie's
for me.
If you'd
like a cookie.
Thank you so much.
That's
all the science, so I believe we are
done.
That's
all the science and cookie news.
Science and cookie news here at Legion of Dis. All right. Where's our teletype? Ah, there we go. See, that's the sound of news happening, my friends. Here in Portland, the Transportation Security Administration says it's bringing the latest generation of airport security technology to our airports.
Oh, they're bringing the porno x-ray naked things?
They are indeed. The new body scanning machines at security checkpoints are designed to avoid some of the more controversial aspect of airport security screenings. They do not produce an outline of the body, but rather look for anomalies of something attached outside the body or hidden in clothing.
They also do not prevent terrorism or make anyone safer.
No.
We should mention that.
Yeah. But, you know.
A lot of things they don't do.
The TSA's Federal Security Director for Oregon, Mike Irwin, told the Oregonian the machines can reduce pat-down searches because they aren't triggered by artificial joints, unlike metal detectors. Three advanced imaging technology devices are now in use at Portland International Airport, and officials expect to have them running at all of the airport security checkpoints by the holiday travel rush. So that means that I, with my artificial hips, could now travel without having to do the whole wanding and pat-down and taking my shoes off thing.
That's right.
I mean, if they want to see me naked, that's their horror, frankly. That's their punishment for having to put me through that.
Well, those things, fortunately, those things do not detect drugs if they've been keistered.
Do they not?
They don't. As long as they're up your butt, they don't detect
them. How do you know that, Eric Snyder?
A friend told me.
Really? A friend? A friend with drugs in his butt?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
My friend, Jimmy Jojo Shabadoo.
Buddy McDrug Butterson?
Yes.
Planned changes to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum will be presented to the Portland City Council next Thursday, but Sam Adams released a summary Friday morning. He said it's appropriate that on a day when we honor veterans for all they have given on behalf of our country, we highlight the progress being made to renovate and enhance the historic building and gardens built and named in their honor. The VMC is the heart and soul of the Rose Quarter, and I'm pleased with the progress made to restore this iconic regional asset. We've had Dave Helfrey, Baron Von Gulo, in here, who he does the Fright Town, which is in the Memorial Coliseum.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things we talked about a couple of times is that for most of, I think all the time I've ever lived here, it has been the Memorial Coliseum.
Yeah.
And then they recently decided that it should be called Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Why?
I guess it was unclear who they were memorializing.
Right.
So now it's like we know that it's the Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Okay.
I
didn't know that.
I wasn't aware that that was something that really needed to be spelled out.
Well, and I always just heard it referred to as the Memorial Coliseum. It never occurred to me to wonder who it's a memorial for.
Right.
Memorial.
So I guess you're the reason.
I'm the reason.
You're the reason they had to change the name.
As usual.
Always the problem,
so
never
it's always,
the solution.
It's always been named that, but now they're just re-emphasizing.
Well, apparently, it's always been Memorial Coliseum, and I guess they tacked veterans onto it recently. Or it's always been Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and nobody calls it that, and then they got all fussy about it. I don't know.
Neither.
The available
look it up on the internet.
The available funding for the project was projected to be $30.5 million, more than $17 million of which would come from public funds. Items expected to be included. Here's what you're getting for your money, people. Restored landscaping and enhanced memorials in the memorial gardens. Mm. I don't know what enhanced memorials means. Will there be laser shows?
It'll be in 3D.
all the dead people will have their own holograms projected above their plaques. And there'll be new arena seats with improved ADA access, an NHL-sized ice rink, remodeled concession stands, updated lighting indoors, a new roof, and upgraded emergency lighting and fire alarm system. More than $7.5 million was set aside for affordable housing goals within the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Area. And we know what a great job they do with those affordable housing projects.
It's going to take a lot more money to clean up that part of town.
The project will also pursue LEED Gold certification for sustainability, so they're going to try and make it as green as possible. Good luck with that. As part of the presentation, the team will seek formal city support to continue to negotiate a redevelopment agreement with Portland Arena Management and with the Portland Winter Hawks. Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got a hockey team.
We don't.
Don't we?
A hockey team.
Do we have a hockey team?
Oh, we do. Yeah, the Portland Winter Hawks.
Yeah.
That's really a thing.
Hey.
Huh. All right.
Oh, who cares? Where am I? As more retails. Let's try this again. May I start again, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. As more retailers try to turn Thanksgiving Thursday into Black Friday, some employees are fighting back. I didn't bring any lunch. I'm going to be starving in a few. All I had to eat was that cookie. And I bought him breakfast. More than 7,000 people signed an online petition on change.org asking retail giant Target to reverse its decision to open its doors on Thanksgiving Day and allow workers to spend the holiday with family and friends. There are hundreds of comments on the petition supporting retail workers' rights to Thanksgiving Day off, including this one from Caroline Hemingway. Quote, "This is absurd. Corporations are treating their workforce like serfs and fomenting a toxic consumer culture, pure unadulterated greed."
Fomenting.
She said fomenting and serfs. The campaign was launched by Anthony Hardwick, a Target employee from Omaha, Nebraska, following news that the company's management had moved the standard Black Friday opening time from 5 a.m. on Friday to midnight on Thanksgiving. The new opening time will require employees to arrive at work at 11 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. All Americans should be able to break bread with their loved ones on Thanksgiving, said Hardwick, who works as a part-time parking attendant at a Target store in Omaha.
Right, and that's going to 11 p.m. is going to interrupt people's Thanksgiving dinners.
Also, he's only a part-time parking employee. Really? He can't use the overtime?
I thought you were talking about like opening on Thanksgiving Day. They're opening at midnight,
No. So
you got to be at work at 11.
Yeah.
Well, so what?
With the midnight opening, employees like myself, says this part-time parking attendant, we'll have to leave for work right in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner.
What? At 11 p.m.?
I know. He's eating dinner at like 10:30 at night.
That's ridiculous.
No, that's not the middle of Thanksgiving dinner. That's the turkey sandwich that you make after you've digested the mid-afternoon meal.
Right.
And you're sitting and like watching old movies in front of the TV.
So that's not
the middle.
So 1 hour of your Thanksgiving 24 hours is being taken away.
All America. We don't mind hard work, he said, but cutting into our holidays is a step too far.
We don't mind hard work, said the part-time parking garage attendant.
Right. If Target doesn't reverse its decision and allow associates to spend Thanksgiving holidays with their family, they might suffer from a fast-growing consumer backlash, Hardwick said. Which this article from, I believe this is from Slate, says, will they? Whoever wrote this actually said that. Will they? With Target, Macy's, Best Buy, and Kohl's announcing plans to open at midnight on Thanksgiving, Walmart decided to go even further and will open at 10 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, see, now we're starting to get serious. The more it comes back, the more it will actually cut into holiday plans.
This may be a bonanza for avid shoppers. But how about all those hardworking retailers who have to leave their families and man the registers? This fellow, Steve Shooknecht, general manager of the Tanger Outlet Center in Howell, Michigan, said, I don't like the fact that I have to come in on Thanksgiving, but when you work in retail, it's the nature of the beast. I understand the value of it. Our traffic has been tremendous. Other major retailers are choosing to remain closed on Thanksgiving, citing their employees' right to a holiday. Bill Gintner, senior vice president of marketing for JCPenney, said, we wanted to give our associates Thanksgiving Day to spend with their families.
I suspect JCPenney can give every day to their employees to spend with their families.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were in a JCPenney's? Actually, inside a JCPenney's? Not counting walking through it to go into the mall.
The last time I was actually in a JCPenney's was actually walking through it to get to the hair salon to get my hair cut.
See, there you go.
So, I don't know.
I don't think I'm sure I've never purchased anything at a JCPenney's.
I did a long time ago, but I haven't. I don't think I've purchased anything at a JCPenney's since I've lived in Oregon, and that's been like 20 years.
Yeah.
So, but people shop at the JCPenney's.
Apparently.
They enjoy it.
I feel, my heart goes out to anyone who works in retail this time of year, because it's terrible.
It is terrible.
It's bad enough. They have to be there at like, and I don't even know how this is that much worse, having to be at work at 4 a.m. on Friday or having to be there at 11 p.m. the night before. Either way, it sucks. Everything sucks about it.
It does.
And who still goes to the Black Friday things?
I don't know.
I guess a lot of people, but I thought it would all kind of move to the internet.
Have you ever bought anything at a Black Friday sale?
I went once. Like 10 years ago, one of my brothers went through a phase where he and my mom would get up early and go down there to whatever Best Buy or something and get stuff. And they were very coordinated with like walkie-talkies and stuff. But then they realized it's just crazy and stupid. And you can get everything online now.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go do that. It's terrible.
Okay. I've only done it really once, and that was probably about, like, God, I think like 8 or 9, 10 years ago. Patrick and I, I happened to get the newspaper the day, like, before, day before Thanksgiving, and it had all the Black Friday ads. And Target was doing this thing where they had one of these huge loss leader sales where it was a 5 DVD changer and stereo system with the Dolby surround stuff, and it was like $88.
Wow.
And I said, we need a DVD player. So we actually did, like, we didn't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning though. We went over there around like 9:30.
Right.
And just sort of walked in and walked up and bought one. Got that and a pair of Hulk hands. And that was it. And then left. And I think a DVD.
Is that the DVD player you had, like, forever?
Yeah, that was the one I had for, like, years and years and years until it decided to just not work anymore. But, yeah, no, that...
You got your money's worth.
I got my money's worth. But that's, like, the only time I've ever gone to a Black Friday thing.
I don't even remember what I bought when I went. I think I just did it just so I could have the experience of having done it. Same reason I went to college.
and why you put all those drugs up your butt.
Right. Just so I could say I did.
Are you ready to do a little entertainment news for us, Mr.
Eric
Schneider?
Only if you have theme music.
Well, that's questionable.
Well, then I got nothing to say.
I'm having much of the same problem Jim was having with the soundboard program, where it's like I loaded them all up earlier and then nothing works. But if I load them up again, then all of a sudden it works.
It sounds like Science on the March again.
No, that's...
Oh, it's entertainment. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's entertainment.
You know what a lot of people did on Friday, because it was November 11th, 2011. All the 11s.
Yeah.
A lot of famous people took that opportunity to renew their marriage vows.
Did they indeed?
By a lot, I mean two. Two couples did this. First, Jerry O'Connell, the fat kid from Stand By Me.
Right.
He and his wife, Rebecca Romaine, I guess she doesn't still go by Rebecca Romaine Stamos, does she?
Probably not, she's married to Jerry O'Connell.
Rebecca Romaine Stamos O'Connell and Jerry O'Connell Stamos. They renewed their vows on Friday. O'Connell told People magazine the significance is due to its, quote, numerical symmetry. If we happen to look at our phone and it's 11-11, one of us always texts the other. There's two of us, Rebecca and I, and the two of our kids. They sound really annoying.
Have you ever seen an interview with Jerry O'Connell, like on a talk show or anything?
I don't know.
He is quite possibly the stupidest human being I have ever seen interviewed on a major news network. And that is counting people on, like, cops.
Wow.
No, he is really just dumb? like bored, like just a plank of wood stupid. Unbelievably stupid.
During the phase in the early 2000s, before Jason Bateman came back, they look alike. Jerry O'Connell and Jason Bateman.
So I would
see Jerry O'Connell in a movie, and I think it reminds me of that old child actor, that Jason Bateman. And then Jason Bateman came back and became Jason Bateman, and Jerry O'Connell, who cares?
Right.
They get more annoying. O'Connell and Romaine renewed their vows at 11:11 a.m. on 11th Street and 11th Avenue in New York. The couple's been married 4 years. Here's hoping they make it to at least 11.
Uh-huh.
And the other couple that did that is Jason Lee and his wife, Karen Alcak or something.
Because 11-11 is some kind of a Scientology thing?
Probably. They married for the first time 3 years ago, and of course they have a kid named Pilot Inspector.
Yeah.
And
I have no idea how I feel about that. On the one hand,
I
kind of like the idea of having a kid named Pilot Inspector. On the other hand, the fact that he's a Scientologist makes me then just think that that's, like, crazy.
Well, they spell Inspector with a K.
Yeah.
Like, you've given your kid a stupid made-up name, and then you spell it wrong, too. Yeah. They should all die in a fire.
Okay.
A house fire should just burn them all. Jason Lee and his wife Karen. His wife Karen, her name is spelled C-E-R-E-N. So it should be, maybe it's pronounced Saren.
Yeah. There are people who'd spell Karen that way, though.
But that's wrong. Yeah. Because C followed by an E makes a S sound, as in scent.
You should send her an email and point that out.
Well, I'm sure she knows her name is spelled wrong. I'm sure she knows. Anyway, may they die in a fire, Jason Lee and Karen Alcock. And their small child.
Well, maybe not the small child. It's not his fault they named him Pilot Inspector.
Well, but that's true. That's true.
He hasn't done anything, I think, worthy of dying in a fire yet.
May he survive to change his name and never speak of his former family again. Hey, the lady who invented breast cancer died.
Oh.
No, the lady who invented the breast cancer pink ribbon.
Oh, that's different.
She was 75.
Did Rick Emerson kill her, too?
It's not in the story, but I assume so.
Okay.
Evelyn Lauder was her name. In her long career as an executive at cosmetics giant Estee Lauder, the company founded by her mother-in-law, so she was the daughter-in-law of the Estee Lauder founder. She worked with many shades of peach, red, bronze, and even blues, but pink was the one hue that changed her life. In 1992, Lauder worked with her friend Alexandra Penny, the former editor-in-chief of Self magazine, to create the Pink Ribbon campaign for breast cancer awareness. And I gotta say, people are aware of breast cancer.
They are. They weren't before.
No.
But they are now.
That is the thing that people definitely know exists.
Also, I think that we have to blame the people with the yellow ribbons for the people coming back from...
From wars and
stuff. From wars and stuff. But I think that we can, like, blame this woman as well for the fact that there's now, like, some kind of a damn ribbon for everything.
Everything's got a ribbon.
Yeah. And if you don't wear one, apparently that means that... You're, like, in favor of what terrible thing it is that everyone's against.
Right. Yeah. Oh, right. There's more.
Oh, yeah. There's so much more.
Justin Timberlake went to a dance.
Did he?
He attended the Marine Corps ball because I guess a Marine asked him out. And I guess it was a lady Marine.
Oh, that's less interesting.
That would have been far more interesting.
It would have been.
If a gay Marine had asked out Justin Timberlake and he had accepted and gone to the ball together.
That would have been a better story in every way.
Especially
if there are pictures of them dancing.
Especially if there's a picture of the Marine ball.
Yeah. The Marine's ball?
The Marine balls are great. Have you ever been... you should check out some Marine balls. They're always the most festive... A lot of good music. He posted a photo along with a letter on his website Sunday. The Marine Corps Ball in Richmond, Virginia was, quote, one of the most moving evenings I've ever had. Corporal Kelsey DeSantis had invited Timberlake through a YouTube video to the event, and Timberlake accepted. Timberlake wore a tuxedo to the ball held at the Greater Richmond Convention Center. Timberlake's Friends with Benefits co-star Mila Kunis earlier this year accepted a similar invitation to a Marine Corps Ball in Greenville, North Carolina. I don't know whether that ball has occurred already or if she is backed out on the date. Mila Kunis and Emma Stone, tell me the difference. See?
Yeah. Well, Mila Kunis, dark hair. Emma Stone, red hair.
Okay.
Emma Stone, kind of quirky looking. Mila Kunis, just sort of traditionally pretty.
I feel like they look the same to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I can tell the difference.
Well, good for you.
They're both quite talented and lovely.
They're funny, yeah. No, I like them and the things that they're in. Unless maybe it's just one of them that I like. And I
see, that's it. You just can't remember.
I don't know. Charlize Theron is single. but she's talking about it. Oh, she dated Stuart Townsend for 10 years before they broke up last year. Why is this news that she's talking about what it's like to be single? Who cares?
Because she's got a movie coming out.
Who cares what Charlize Theron thinks about what it's like to be single?
Yeah.
Black Sabbath is doing a new album produced by Rick Rubin.
Hey, that's something.
I guess. Yeah, the original four members of Black Sabbath. Can you name them, the four members of Black Sabbath?
Jimmy Joe Stevenson.
Yes.
Bob Nutterton.
Yes. Bob Nutterton, sure. No, you got Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows
I was going to mention him.
That's
yes,
the one
of course.
That anyone knows. Tony Iommi.
Uh-huh.
Bill Ward. And, wait for it, do you know?
Bill Nutterton.
Geezer Butler.
Oh, Geezer Butler.
Sure, Geezer Butler.
Geezer Butler.
It's the four original members. I think Tommy Netterton came in later.
Tommy Netterton Smythe is his actual name.
The original four have announced they will reunite and tour in 2012, including a headlining set at the Download Festival in June. Surprise news was that the reunion will include a new album produced by Rick Rubin due next fall. This will be their first, I assume somewhere in this story, if I scan it long enough, it will say this will be their first album since. This story does not give me that information. This is a useless
It's been a long time. It's been a while.
Piece of paper.
It's been some time.
Wow. It was the Whiskey a Go-Go on the Sunset Strip. Henry Rollins was there introducing all this, announcing it. And he says that Black Sabbath played on the Whiskey a Go-Go stage 41 years earlier.
Wow.
Yeah, they've been around that long.
Wow.
Or they were around that long.
Ozzy could actually, like, form complete sentences at that time.
Is that true? Could he ever?
I'm sure at one point I believe so.
Able to speak and
I believe
function?
He was actually articulate at okay. one time.
Interesting. Now I'm curious to know how long it's been since they last made an album, but not curious enough to look it up. So someone in the chat box tell me when their last album was.
Okay. Nice. So that all our entertainment?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, Chelsea Clinton's going to be a reporter for NBC News.
Okay.
I guess.
Is she qualified to do that?
She's as qualified as she has the last name of someone who was in politics.
Okay.
That's the Fox News standard. They get like Meghan McCain or Billy Carter.
Or Billy Bush. That's not news though. He's on.
The Bush twins, I'm sure, are doing news or something.
Porn.
They're doing porn in news.
Yeah, porn news. Porn news. There's an idea.
I'm sure there are sites devoted to porn news. Okay. The latest in porn?
No, I mean news presented, actual news presented while people are engaging in porn.
Interesting. This just in.
So you can learn. So you can learn while you.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Enjoy porn.
Right. That too. Interesting. Okay. That's entertainment. Where's our.
That's how we're going to make our fortune, Don Taylor. Send.
There we go. Well, not us. Together.
1978, someone says, was the last Black Sabbath album. 1978, it was that long ago? Two people are saying it. Two
Ozzy,
different people say it. Never
Ozzy
Say
Osbourne
Die was the album.
Did move on to...
That's true. Then he went solo.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's been a very long time.
It has been.
I had no idea.
But here we are. We're learning along with the listeners.
Thank you, people in the magic box that told me that.
Yeah.
We'll kill you last.
Well, here's another little story here for you. The return of layaway plans this holiday shopping season is raising concern that a break from credit cards might actually cost consumers more. For example...
Let me guess. Those concerns are being raised by credit card companies.
They're being raised by U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, who I don't know why he cares. But
probably because credit card companies are his
lobbyists. He says, for example, a rock and roll Elmo doll, which I know you were planning to get, that requires a $5 layaway fee and a 10% down payment for a month can equal a credit card that charged more than 100% interest. What? He says he's taking...
He's saying that the layaway plan would cost you more than it would cost if you just bought it with a credit card.
He says the ultimate cost of a layaway plan with a $5 fee can equal 40% interest over a month or two for many common purchases compared to the annual rates of most credit cards. He says if stores don't better present the cost of layaway purchases, he will ask the Federal Trade Commission to determine whether the increasing use of layaway is a deceptive or misleading business practice.
How is it any more deceptive or misleading than buy it with a credit card and then pay for it forever?
It just seems like if you're...
Is it a one-time fee? It's like a one-time $5
fee?
Well, that's only going to be more if you're buying like a really cheap thing.
Yeah, and it says it's a... And Brian Dodge of the Retail Industry Leaders Association says it's a leap to suggest that $5 on a $100 purchase is twice the going rate on credit cards, which today averages 14.99% worldwide. He said layaway is not credit, period. Layaway programs provide consumers with a responsible, low-cost alternative to credit cards that allow customers to buy an item that they want, but the flexibility to pay for it over time without accumulating debt.
Without having to deal with the evil credit card companies.
There's a small fee that covers the cost of handling the layaway account, which also keeps the cost of keeping workers available to provide the items, the cost of storing the items for weeks, disrupting what could be faster turnover. A fee can also be a restocking fee, which it covers the cost of returning the stock item to the shelves if the layaway isn't completed. But it's like,
Yeah, I guess if
credit card interest is limited to some, in most states it's limited to like 16 to 35%.
Yeah,
and a $5 fee on something.
That's if you buy a thing. If you're buying something for $10, then yeah, it's a 50% fee. But
you're also paying for. But of course, if you're putting something that's only cost $10 on layaway,
that's my point. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
anything you put on layaway is going to cost enough to where $5 is like, you know, a very small percentage.
Right.
Of the fee. So that man is full of crap.
He's full of poo.
What state does he represent, Schumer?
I don't know.
It should probably said it like an R and then something next to his name.
Yeah, he's a Democrat. I don't know where he's from.
Well, whatever. He's full of crap. He's probably from Delaware, which is where all the credit card companies are based.
Maybe.
Probably.
Let's just say
this
that
all,
that's
follow
actually
the money. This all goes back to him wanting people to use credit cards more.
Well, this has been your exciting episode of Legion of News. I would like to... Really? God, okay. Let's see, pull this over here.
You were right, though. It has been.
This has been.
it's probably been our best show.
It has been, ever. I liked the episode of Legion of News we did where we read old news from the past.
Too.
That was fast.
That was fun.
Legion of News comes to you from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high atop the milk packing district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk is me, Dawn Taylor. I would like to thank my special guest and super friend, Mr. Eric D. Snyder, for joining me here today.
My pleasure.
Advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill. Our executive producer is Bruce Agler. Chief of staff is Cheryl Kenekoa. Please stay tuned if you're so inclined. We will be back with you over at rickemerson.com with the Rick Emerson Show later. Until then, have a pleasant tomorrow, and we will see you anon.
Welcome to my secret lair on Skullcrusher Mountain. I hope that you've enjoyed your stay so far. I see you met my assistant Scarface. His appearance is quite disturbing.